have your Bibles this morning, let's turn together to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll just read one passage of Scripture this morning. I'll refer to other passages of Scripture throughout the message, but 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, simply entitled, Let's Take a Walk. For those of you who grew up on a farm may understand this better, but some of you might want to keep the phrase or thought in mind, walk on, walk on. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. Thank you, Michelle. You know, the storms make being safe, secure, and warm so much more appreciative, don't they? And I believe the person who wrote that song probably had a walk with the Lord. As we talked this morning, here in just a few moments on Let's Take a Walk, let's be reminded, as the song mentions, about being safe, secure, and warm. It's during those trials at times that we have that makes those walks with the Lord so much sweeter because of the relationship that we have. I had a little thought this morning before I get over to the message, sitting there in the front row. I do this often, and often I'll write them down, add it to the message, or save it for another time. But most of you are at the age, or that you're old enough to understand exactly what I'm saying, because you have bought medication. Isn't it quite comical to see the warning signs of the medication you're taking? Sometimes I wonder, after hearing all the side effects, if it's safe taking the medication. And then I thought about the message this morning, and then it made me think about any message that is preached. See if this doesn't make sense. Warning. This message could cause heartburn, uneasiness, frustration, joy, could cause cure loneliness, but also bring conviction. Just like medications, there's all sides of the barrier of a message. Folks that will embrace it and enjoy it. Those that will praise the Lord for reminding me of this. Praise the Lord, I am doing this. I've checked myself. Praise the Lord, attention has been brought to me. I need to clean up my act, or whatever the case may be. Bottom line is, preaching is good for us whether we like it or not. The medication is good for us, and sometimes we might not like the side effects. Recently, the doctor put me on some medication several months ago. Well, it hasn't been too many several months. I've only been here almost 6 months, but a few months ago. And I did not like the way it made me feel. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to quit taking it. So I quit taking it after a week, and I felt worse after quit taking it for a few days. I should have tapered off. But then I talked to my doctor. He said, well, how about if you just go down to a quarter of a dose for a week, then a half a dose, then three quarters, then a full dose, and let your body adjust to it and see how you do. And that's exactly what I did. I went back and I took just a quarter of the small little dosage, had to break up and use the pill cutter, and added up to where now I'm at a full dose. I don't need it twice a day, just once a day, but I may end up adding the second dose a little bit later. And I said all that to say this. Sometimes we just need to take it in doses. Sometimes we can only take so much at a time. I understand that. But just like anything else, that we need to embrace which helps us, embrace what encourages us, and then put in the category of things we may make us uncomfortable. Those are things that may bring a little bit of conviction. Say, well, Lord, if that's what I need, then let me think this through. In other words, don't get mad at the preacher. I actually had a young lady some years ago that quit coming to church, and I asked her, just tell me the truth. I know you love me. I love you, and I love your boys. I pray for your husband every day. He is in a combat zone. He was a pilot, a combat pilot, and he said, preacher, just to be honest with you, thank you for praying. Please pray for my boys, but I just can't handle the conviction I get every Sunday when I come to church. And I thought to myself, well, that's a good problem. I said, do you know how to fix that uneasiness? And she says, well, yeah, I think there's some things I need to stop doing. I said, uh-huh, that's a good start. Well, maybe there's some things I need to start doing. Okay, that's a good start. And then it was like, well, preacher, I don't think I want to do either one. And then I thought, oh, me. And then I asked her, those four boys, she had four boys. Let me tell you why. This skinny little blonde kept those boys in line, those wiry boys. She was on them. And I asked her, what about these four boys? Do they need you to do it? Well, preacher, now you're preaching again. I'm getting under conviction. And she stormed off and grabbed her boys. Folks, now that's the wrong attitude. And it's a story, I think, comes to a point to help you understand. Sometimes the preaching may be uncomfortable. Sometimes it may cure that loneliness. Sometimes it may bring joy. Sometimes it might give you a little heartburn. Sometimes it might bring a little conviction. But for all of those reasons, in our heart, we ought to say, praise the Lord, amen. Because you know what that means when conviction comes? It means you're one of His. If you can continue to live a life of sin and have no conviction, you don't have a walk with God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We have so different variants of life in here this morning, different cultures, different background. Some of us speak English. Some of us speak English and other languages. Some of us grew up in the East, some in the South, some in the West, some right here locally. We come from all different walks of life, but there's only one God. He works the same way. He works through His word, and it makes no difference in some areas. He crosses all barriers to bring salvation, to bring conviction, to bring peace, and to provide all that we need. So let me say this, and I'm going to get right into the message. There's only one way to the cross. It's not an experience. It's not a vision. It's not a dream. It's not something that I feel like. It's not something that my mama told me. But it's something that I, myself, realized my need for Christ, heading in the wrong direction. I made an about face and turned to Christ and repented of my sins. Those are the steps leading to salvation. Realizing that you're a sinner and turning to Christ. But yet so many people today have the talk, have the jargon, grew up in church that think they saved, say they're saved, but they sure, I tell you what, you go out into the world, I couldn't pick them out among the crowd because they're just like them. When you walk with the Lord, there's something different about you. When you have a walk with the Lord, we stand out. We are to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We are to be different. We are to be distinctly different. And if we're not, and we can blend into the world, we have to ask ourselves, have I made a profession? Have I turned to Christ? Or am I just part of a church? Am I just part of a movement? Or is I just brought up in something? Because as I said before, belief is not enough. Because James tells us the devils believe and tremble. It's coming to the point of realizing your condition of sin, repenting and turning to Christ. Here, the Bible uses walking as an illustration of our daily life. In the Old Testament, we find that Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. We also know that Israel was admonished to walk after the Lord. See, to walk with the Lord is to have consistent fellowship with Him. Whether one is walking with the Lord or after the Lord or before the Lord, the basic meaning is the same. However, to walk with the Lord emphasizes that personal fellowship, that personal relationship an individual has or that believer has. In the New Testament, the illustration of walking is used over 50 different times in the epistles. Now, our daily walk will consist of obstacles. There will be times when we stumble and times that we fall and times that we might even be fall or get a branch in the face. But a walk with the Lord is a great walk. Now, you may be thinking, preacher, I don't know what kind of walks you go on to get hit in the face with a branch. Well, I'm just glad it's not a cactus that hits me after being here in Arizona. But walking in the wilderness, walking around things, sometimes you might run across something unexpectedly. And just like with your walk with the Lord, there will be storms, as Michelle sang this morning, that come our way. But those storms are to draw us closer to Him. Now, today, we'll talk about two aspects, and I'll close with the third, of our walk with the Lord. I believe number one is a walk of unity, a walk of integrity, and a walk of destiny or purpose. Number one this morning, it is a walk of unity. The Bible tells in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2 and verse number 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Yes, that means when you trust Christ, there's something within us that should give us a desire to realize that my life has changed. There's some things that need to change. I need to walk after the Lord. I need to learn more of Him. You see, the moment we receive the Lord as our Savior, our course changed. We did an about face in the direction we were heading it to and turned to the Lord. A direction of change took place in our life. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, and verse number 8, the Bible says, For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See, we must ask ourselves the question, are we taking advantage of the privilege that God has given us? He not only saved us from sin, saved us from hell, but saved us that we might have a walk in a relationship with Him. Before salvation, we walked according to the God of this world, but now we walk according to the God of the universe, amen? And I trust you are doing that. I trust there are changes that have taken place. I remember some time ago talking to someone and them sharing a little bit about their testimony and telling how they had gotten away from the Lord for a period of time. And the Lord really beat them up. And after a period of time, they realized that, hey, I need to get back on track. I need to get back in church. I need to be living right. I don't know how I got here, but I need to get back where I was in my walk, in my relationship, in my life with the Lord. In fact, they were so serious about their walk and getting where they needed to be, they thought to yourself, if I stay here and I'm around all these temptations, I'm around among the world day in and day out, it's going to be hard for me. So they made the decision, and I'm not telling you this is for everybody, but they made the decision to relocate, to get away from that dragging of the world and pulling them in that they might live and walk with the Lord. They made a decision on purpose that I'm going to walk with the Lord. And dear friends, it is a common walk. Do you like to go for a walk with your husband or wife? Do you have a friend that you enjoy walking with? I remember when Michelle and I were courting, we enjoyed walking together. And I'll be honest with you, I would have sat down and had tea or played Barbie dolls if it meant spending time with her. I enjoyed her company. I was doing all I can to woo her, or her to woo me. I'm not sure which one it was. Dear friends, you can enjoy the fellowship of another person as you go for a walk. And that means you can communicate. I'm afraid there's so much missing in our life outside of church when it comes to communicating with the Lord. Are you walking along, and as you walk along and you talk about things that are common between you? Michelle and I take a walk most every weekday. We go for a walk in the mornings. Try to get out before the heat. And our walks are not just walking for 2+ miles and just trying to keep up, stay together. We talk. It's easier for me for that time to go by if I'm talking and enjoying the fellowship. We talk about things. We talk about our church family. We talk about the Lord. We talk about our children. We talk about the next opportunity and planning an activity for the church or spending time with the kids. We have companionship. We communicate. Dear friends, who in the world wants to go for a walk with a companion and just not talk? Why do we want to walk and live in this world below and not have a relationship with the Lord? Why do we not want to communicate with Him? We said in church and we hear from the Lord. We said in church we're either preaching the Word of God, we hear from the Word of God, God speaks to us. But what about us also communicating with the Lord? We ought to talk to Him. Talk with Him about the events of your life. Talk with Him about your hopes and your dreams. Talk with Him about your relationship together. Lord, show me how my relationship can improve. Show me, Lord, what's in my life that I need to kind of chip away or to scan back. Show me what's missing in my life that I need to add to help me with my walk. Communicate with Him. I mean, a walk with Jesus is a walk of life, and you should talk with the person that you will spend eternity with. How is our walk? Let's take a walk. When's the last time you had that? Well, I'm not talking about just sitting down and reading your Bible, but I'm talking about that walk, whether it be just in a quiet space in your room with the Lord, as I talked about last week, or going on a prayer walk where you're communicating and talking with the Lord and asking Him to reveal things with you. It's communication, but it's also experience as we talk about this common walk. All of life is an experience, and we are not alone in it. We have the presence of fellowship of the Lord experiencing it with us. He is with us when we stumble. He is with us when we get that branch in the face, that sideways event that takes place. And He is with us in the good times as well as the bad. He is with us in times of storm. He's with us in the time of security and safety. He is with us through and in all things. But so often I think we feel like the Lord has forgotten us because we are going through a trial or tribulation or a rough patch. Folks, I don't know about you. Those rough patches sometimes draw us closer to Him. It reminds us maybe how far we have drifted away. Yes, it is a common walk as we walk with the Lord. We communicate with Him. We have the opportunity to experience things with Him, experience things from the Word of God, experience things as He speaks to us in His Word and as we speak to Him in prayer. Not only is it a common walk, but it is a cautious walk. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:15, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Dear friends, we need to be wise as serpents, but yet harmless as doves. But at the same time, we need to remind ourselves, as I spoke about in Sunday school, so often as we become adults, we forget and we don't practice some common things that children do. Remember the little song that we sang as children, now maybe even as adults, "Trust and Obey"? Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Dear friends, I don't know about you. My walk with the Lord is so much sweeter, more enjoyable when I'm trusting in Him and obeying Him and try to honor Him and those things which I do. See, it could be like going to the woodshed when you're not walking with the Lord in the way that we should. That when we do hear the preaching, we do get into the Word of God, we do have a conversation with someone else, and the Lord begins to convict us, sometimes it can feel like a trip to the woodshed. But dear friends, I tell you what. As a young boy growing up, looking back upon my life, I can't think of one experience I ever had when my dad took me to the woodshed. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I did enjoy it in the moment, but now as an adult looking back, I'm grateful for a father who rebuked me, corrected me, and told me why that he did it and why I was doing wrong. I was thankful. And we need to realize the Lord wants to do the same thing for us. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse number 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Dear friends, it is a cautious walk. We need to be on guard. We don't need to be fearful or afraid, but we need to be aware and realize that the Satan is not happy when we're serving the Lord. And in fact, anytime the Lord is happy with our walk, Satan is not. Anytime Satan is happy with our walk, the Lord is not. So let me ask you, who do you want to please? Who do you want to be upset with you? Who do you want to rebuke you? Dear friends, to be honest, I am amazed at the spiritual shallowness of many Christians in our world today. We are to be on guard because Satan wants to devour us. Not fearful, not afraid, cautious. He doesn't jump out, as I mentioned before, the bushes as a snarling, ferocious, sick animal that he is. He often appears as an angel of light. I understand why the world will be lined up to buy the newest vampire witchcraft book or movie or whatever's coming out. People line up outside of stores, set up tents all night or for days to buy tickets to go to a concert. But dear friends, but I can only say that when Christians do the same thing, they have to be shallow. We are to be different. The Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." If we are not different and we do not stand out in some sort, how is the world going to recognize that there is something different? There is something right, something moral. There is something righteous and godly. Dear friends, when you tell a person, let me getting ahead of myself. I don't want to go there quite yet. The next time, this is something I often told my children when they were growing up. If they have to come to me or they have to question whether something they're about to do, to say, or to partake in, of whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, or they have to look around to see who's looking before they do it. Obviously, it's probably something you already know that is wrong. Probably already something you know that might be questionable, that might be in that gray area. Saw my granddaughters the other day playing, and they were looking around. They were just playing. I don't know. I don't think they were doing anything mischievous, so they probably were. But they were looking around, and I said, "Don't forget to look up. Don't forget to look up. Don't worry about if Papa's watching. Don't worry about if Grams is watching. Don't worry about if his mom was watching. But God is watching all the time." And I'm afraid sometimes we forget about this cautious walk. We might be fearful of some things, but are we more concerned about what the world thinks, or are we more concerned about what God thinks? And I think we've allowed Satan to convince us that we need to be more concerned about the world. We don't want to be canceled. We don't want to be caught up with this. We don't want to be in this situation. Dear friends, I don't know about you. I am so glad that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved on my way to heaven. I'm so glad that I know the Lord's not going to cancel his contract on my salvation. But I'm not worried about someone else canceling me of this world because I'm living the right way. They want to cancel me, go ahead. They want to ridicule me, go ahead. They want to mock me, go ahead. Because I want to make sure that I'm right this way. Because as I'm right this way, if I said so often, it's so much easier to be right out here in this direction. And if we're right this way and we labor to be right this way, God could use us to bring other people to the Savior as well. Some time ago, I heard someone give another person, I think, some of the worst advice that you could give anyone. Never, never, never tell anyone to just follow your heart. I think that's bad advice. And I'll tell you why. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, when you tell a person to just follow his or her heart, especially a teenager, you are heading them toward disaster. The only time we should follow our heart is when Jesus lives within us and he leads and sits on the throne of our hearts. Then we can allow the Lord to help us and to direct us, and we're not following our heart, we're following what he says, who is the owner, the keeper of my heart. Do not follow your heart. Follow the Word of God. You know, there's not a question or concern that you have that we cannot answer and find the answer in the Word of God. The Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. I know our world is changing. In fact, I know more likely than not, somewhere across America today, yesterday, tomorrow, next week, or the week before, somebody probably preached a message with a similar title, but a different context, a different passage of Scripture, the same thought. Maybe even use some of the same Scripture references. In fact, my son sent me his outline, who's preaching this morning, and we're preaching on the same topic, but different passages of Scripture and different points. He sent me his outline. I sent him mine. He said, you know, Dad, I'm going to take some of those supporting Scripture references and add it to my message. I said, help yourself, son. There's nothing new under the sun. Friends, sometimes I think we've forgotten the aspect that we just need to reread the Word of God. We just need to get in it, stay in it, and don't feel like we already have all the answers. Again, there are so many young people who have followed their hearts, only ended up shattered and their life broken and their heart broken because they went on emotions and feelings instead of the Word of God. Don't follow your heart. Follow the Word of God. It's a walk, without a doubt, as we looked at this morning. It is a walk of unity. And number two, it is a walk of integrity. A walk of integrity. Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envying. So dear friends, as far as integrity goes, we have to ask ourselves, what is it or what have we renounced? What is it that we put away that we might walk in integrity? Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. But ye have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully. See, as we go on our journey, we have made a decision. We have decided, hopefully, that we will follow integrity and not our hearts, but God's word and God's will. What is it that we're following? The word of God, his will for our life, his word for leading us. We live in a time in society today where they've taken integrity and used it to address some people who do practice some integrity, but I'm referring to godly, biblical integrity as a believer. You realize you can have and practice integrity as a believer in common everyday worldly things, having the right, not a thief, not stealing, being a good employee, showing up on work and time, and still be not one of integrity when it comes to the things of God. It's beyond just doing what's right. We walk along with Jesus, hopefully we do, at our side. And we face the events of the day and the circumstances of our life, and we come across all kinds of opportunities for personal advancement. But we must stop and ask ourselves, how would my Lord Jesus react to this situation? Or which road would Jesus take? Or go back many years ago, what would Jesus do? Do we ask ourselves that question often enough as we consider our walk of not only of unity but of integrity? What is it that we have embraced that gives us the integrity that we should have as a believer? 2 Corinthians, again in our text, chapter 4 and verse 2, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. See, everyone in this room should have already made up his or her mind that their Christian walk would be of integrity, embracing truth, because as we go our way, we must remember that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, the world says there is one truth for me, there's another truth for you. We don't both have the same truth. And that is true to some temporal instances. It may be true that I like eggs for breakfast, and it might be true that you don't. But when it comes to eternal things, there is one truth fits all. One. The only truth is the Word of God. It doesn't matter what people may feel or what people may think. Think about it for a moment. Our world has changed. I just can't fathom at my age, and I still consider myself being younger. 60 is a new 40, and I'm not quite to 60 yet. But the world has changed, and growing up, I never would have fathomed at all. And it hasn't taken place. Yes, I'm a little scary, but I never would have thought that I would went anywhere in the world today with the potential and the thought of that there was more than two genders, that there would be more than a men's room and a women's room. I never thought it, but here we are. The world has been turned upside down. Unity is out. Integrity is out. Our world is in chaos. But dear friends, I don't know about you. The world may be in chaos, but my walk with God is not. My walk with God has not changed. I will walk with Him. I will talk with Him. I will ask Him to speak to me, to help me, to be loving and kind, but speak the Word of God in truth. As one of my former pastors used to say, as kind as I know how to say, it doesn't matter what the world says, what does the Bible say? It doesn't matter what the world is doing, what does God say to do? It doesn't matter how the world is responding, what does the Word of God say Christians and how they should respond? Because see, there's only one truth that fits all in the Word of God. One. When it comes to eternal matters, what is true for me is true for you. What is right for you and what is wrong for you is wrong for me. It's period. It's black and white. There are some preferences we may have that we like things different. As we said in Sunday school, I may like Coke and Tony may like Pepsi, but that's not a cause of splitting fellowship over. But however, there are some things in truth of the Word of God that we should follow and stick with. When it comes to eternal matters, once again, what is truth for me is true for you. What is right, and what is wrong. What is truth and what is sin is clearly in the Word of God. There is nothing going on in our world today that the Word of God puts in a gray area. It's black and white. It's right, it's wrong. It's truth, it's untruth. The problem is we have allowed some things to get all mixed up and mixed in that we see things differently instead of clearly from the Word of God. Maybe if we had read the Word of God more, involved in Bible study more, involved in church more, and was less concerned about the world and the news and what is going on. Folks, I don't know about you, but recently, I do not watch near as much news and current events as I used to. I mean, I'll never need blood pressure medication. Never. Never need anything to raise my blood pressure. All I got to do is turn on the TV, watch the news. It'll take care of itself. Now, it may get a little high sometime, and I need to do something. And how do I get my blood pressure down after watching 30 minutes or 15 minutes of the news? I have to go talk to God and open my Bible and pray. That's the only thing that works. Folks, it's there, and we have to live with it. But here's the thing, the difference is, we don't have to live with it. We may have to live among it. Remember the old saying, the ship is safe in the ocean as long as the ocean is not in the ship. We may have to live in this world, but we don't have to get in the hog pen with them. Let's make sure that we keep our walk like it needs to be. That walk of unity, that walk of integrity. And lastly, in closing, it's a walk of destiny or a walk of purpose. Romans chapter 6 in verse 4 tells us, therefore we are buried with him in by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Notice that. Even so we also should walk in newness of life. Are we walking in newness of life? Are we still excited about living for God, serving God, the same God who saved us? When we knew we were heading in the wrong direction, realizing that my destiny, my direction, my purpose is for the world and of the things of the world, I have chosen to turn around and turn to God, repent, and walk in a different direction. Dear friends, there should be no looking back. There should be no concern about what I'm missing. We need more concern about what the world's missing by not knowing Christ. And we share with them what we know. Dear friends, it means we no longer live in sin. We no longer live in the position and place of sin. Our new destiny as a believer is to walk in Christ. Walk in Christ. Let me ask this morning, when you go for a walk, are you walking among and with the world, or are you walking with Christ? Is your relationship with the Lord as strong today as it was the day you got saved, that during the time you were a disciple? Are you still moving in unity in the right direction with unity and integrity and relationship with the Lord? Or is it something different? Dear friends, the old saying is, the old joke is, preacher asked the old fella, hey, when's the last time you told your wife you loved her? Well, I told her the day we got married. If I change my mind, I'll let her know. I think sometimes we treat the Lord the same way. We are grateful the day we got saved, and we've had little to no communication with him after. And folks, that's not a good relationship. That's not a sound relationship. We cannot live without sin, but we are free from living in sin. We can't live above it, but we are free to choose, because of our relationship with Christ, to step away from sin and to live for Christ. And the problem with our world today, we've got too many Christians out here wanting to live among the muck and the miry and the sin of life, saying they're believers, but there's no distinct difference. He says, come out from among them and be separate. And he says, we also should walk in newness of life. In other words, our walk should be different. It should have changed the day you got saved. And as you grow older in the Lord, it should be extently closer and closer and closer to him as you mature in the Lord. Dear friends, don't get mad at me. This is one of those times I can cure loneliness. I can help you with that. I can cause indigestion. I can do any of those things. Hold on. Are you walking with God? If you're having a hard time keeping your walk with God, let me ask you, are you sure that you're saved? Something somebody told you, or do you remember the day that you realize, I'm a sinner, I need Christ? And if you can't pin that down, it's not about, oh yeah, I know what the Bible says. I know I've sinned. I know God died, the Lord Jesus died for my sins. I know all of those things. I didn't ask you what you do. I asked you, have you repented? See, it's the difference with saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, please forgive me, and turning to Christ. Again, the devils believe and tremble. Could it be you're having a hard time with your walk because you truly never got saved? Or is it that you did get saved and you're just a carnal Christian? Maybe that's why you're miserable. That's why sometimes when I look out, it looks like people are sucking on lemons and not enjoying the service. And could it be? I don't know. Only you can answer that question. It is a walk of destiny. We no longer practice and desire sin. If you're a believer, you should no longer have a desire to live sinfully. You shouldn't. God's taken that away from you. You're walking in newness of life. You should not hunger and crave to be a sinful person. If you can, then something hasn't changed in your life. Not only do we desire not to practice sin, we desire and practice righteousness, seeking to please God in all that we do. And if that is you, then you are a born-again believer. If not, then you need to come and check your walk. And maybe you need to come to Christ today. Dear friends, there's nothing wrong with correcting something that is broken. There's nothing wrong with realizing that you made a mistake. Pride can send you to hell. 18 inches possibly. Difference between knowing it here and knowing it here. And dear friends, just because you're a believer doesn't make us perfect. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean that you will never sin. Like I said, the difference is willfully choosing to sin. And those of us who make mistakes fall into sin, fall into the lust of the flesh, but then get it right because of conviction. Dear friends, if you can sit under preaching and you can read the Word of God on a regular basis and have no conviction for a life of sin, you have to ask yourself, am I saved? And by the way, the Bible very clearly, he chastises his own. That's why when you're under conviction, that's why when you get frustrated, that's why maybe you get some of the heartburn. That's why you need to ask yourself, is it really heartburn, frustration, or is it conviction? And if it's conviction, praise God, I'm one of his, and now I'm going to get this settled, I'm going to get it right, and I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me, I'm going to go on, and I'm going to serve him. I love my children, and I love my grandchildren. And because I do, I'm willing and ready to correct them. No papaw wants to correct his grandchildren because they're perfect kids. They never do anything wrong. They're wonderful, but they're not. And sometimes I have to get on to my granddaughters. I have to get on them, make them sit down, have a time out, do whatever the case may be, whatever it takes for me not to be put in prison. I make sure that I correct them and I tell them that I love them and I tell them why I am getting on to them. You know, not one time has my grandchildren said, I don't like that papaw. I don't want to come over here anymore. He punished me. No, every time I have gotten onto them, they've come by later and hugged my neck, forgotten this even happened, told me how much they love me. Because they want to do right. Even though that flesh wants to sin, they want to do right. And I correct them or I say something to them because I love them. And I don't want them to continue that way. I want them to understand what's right and what's wrong so that when they're old enough to understand sin, understand and get to the age of accountability, that they will trust Christ as their Savior. Because I've got one of my three that live here that has trusted Christ. The other two have not. And hopefully they'll come to the point of understanding better, and that comes through teaching and showing them. And dear friends, if we can live a life of sin, we can live a life of not spending time in the Word, we can spend a time of not having fellowship, we can spend a time of just doing what we want, and there's no conviction, we need to ask ourselves. Or as my daughters used to say, as I said in Sunday school, we better check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Find out, am I in a relationship with Christ? And if so, Lord, please forgive me. And if not, settle it. Dear friends, our walk is not only to be a walk of unity and a walk of integrity, but we need to realize this walk of destiny. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. Basically, it's black and white. But that other little thing there for the Christian, even though you're on your way to heaven and you're living for the Lord, my question to you as we close this morning, are you walking with him or around him? Are you avoiding him? Example, and then we'll pray, start the invitation. I mean it this time. As a pastor, through all the years of pastoring, I've noticed something. My church members, the church that I pastored in Germany, my military families, I could always tell those who were not living the life they should be living. I could always tell the ones who were really coming to church on Sunday to check a box or miss coming here and there, really, or just even those that were faithful and beginning to get away from the Lord. Every time I saw them in public and they didn't see me, they tried to avoid me. They tried to hide. Oh, there's a preacher. It's usually because of either they weren't in church the Sunday before, which I understand. We miss. We get sick. Things happen. I understand that. Or, well, I hate to say this. It's happened. Or they were hungover from the night before, all bloodshot eyes, just dragging. I could see it all over their face. And this is saved or not saved. Some of them were, some of them were not, and they were still learning and growing the Lord. Or others, here's the other one. They would hide from me because of the way they were dressed. They thought. And I thought to myself, if you think the preacher thinks you're not modest or dressed appropriately, what do you think God thinks? And they would hide. And I always have a good time. When I acknowledged and saw that they didn't see me, but they're trying to hide from me, I'd just give them a chance and wait around the next corner. They come around the corner, I'd say, boo! And I'd love their neck, tell them I love them, and say, if you ever need anything, don't hesitate to ask. I don't have time to go into other stories I could tell you of walking and running into some former church members or those who lived in a community that were just attending on and off, and the things that they were doing and run into. I never rebuked them. I never told them, you know you're doing wrong, because they already knew because they tried to hide from me. I just love their neck, tell them that I love them. If you need anything, don't hesitate to call. You know, I found out through the years that the overwhelming majority of those that did, and I handled it that way, they usually came around and wanted to talk to get some help. Folks, we need to love folks where they're at. But the best way to love folks where they're at is for us to be where we need to be, in unity and integrity and having that walk in relationship with the Lord. Let's stand together with prayer. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed, and Michelle's going to begin playing the piano. And the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. My biggest concern that I have this morning, whether those are visiting with us for the first time or multiple times, whether you say you're a church member or not, it doesn't matter to me. But do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Do you have any reservations, any doubt about your salvation? If you do, why not settle that today? And the next question is your walk, believer. Are you walking with the Lord? Is your walk distinctly? Is it causing joy and excitement in your life instead of sorrow and heartache? How is your walk? How is your relationship? Is your walk bringing others to Christ because of how we live? If we're going to take a walk, let's take a walk together and let's walk in unity and integrity and in destiny that others may see our walk and our testimony, that God may use it to draw others unto ourselves. Father, bless this time of invitation. Work in the hearts and minds of your people. May they respond according to thy will, we ask in Jesus' name. So our pianos continue to play just for a moment. If the Lord has spoken to your heart,